This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
On Joy Now, Transpositions, a safe place for trans communities, our friends and our allies to share our experiences. We'll discuss our issues, our challenges and our successes. We'll occasionally make you cry and hopefully we'll educate and inspire you. Welcome to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
So welcome everybody. Today we're all about human rights. Just last week, Transgender Victoria won the Community Service Award at the National Human Rights Run Australian Human Rights Commission. And Emily was actually talking to Tim Wilson earlier on.
Massive congratulations to Transgender Victoria as well. Of course, the award was from the Australian Human Rights Commission, and the Commission has been very, very busy because as well as the awards, they're also partway through national consultations on LGBTIQ human rights issues in Australia. And so if you do go to the Australian Human Rights Commission website, you can find an online survey all about LGBTIQ issues, and they would like people all over the country or people listening to the radio right now, after you've been listening to Joy, To go to the website, take a look at the survey. They need your feedback. They're also seeking case studies from individuals and organisations about the problems, but also the solutions that might be working somewhere and that we can all learn from. So the address for that website is www.humanrights.gov.au/SOGII-rights. That's kind of complex. So just go to the Google Australian Human Rights Commission, and it's on their front page, the links to those surveys and case studies. And we'll put a link on the Transpositions website as well.
It's actually a survey which I've been meaning to do, and I do actually plan to do that in the next couple of days. So, look, absolutely, if there's people out there who do want to do it, we'd strongly suggest you get on there and do it.
The initiative is being sort of rolled out and shepherded by Tim Wilson, who's the Human Rights Commissioner. And there are several commissioners at the Human Rights Commission, and they're focused on different communities and interests. So there's one for disability issues, there's one for sex discrimination. However, there isn't a commissioner that's focused on LGBTIQ issues. And it's interesting because they did a very similar survey about 4 years ago and came out with a report. And one of the recommendations then was that there should be a full-time LGBTIQ commissioner dedicated to our community. It hasn't happened, and so Tim Wilson, as well as all of his other portfolio responsibilities, has enthusiastically, I should say, taken on the LGBTIQ portfolio. But I asked him in an interview whether that should change.
Well, I can tell you what is actually happening, which is, as being appointed Human Rights Commissioner, I have taken on effectively the full-time part of my role to be a commissioner responsible for sexual orientation and gender identity issues, because they're so large and they've been ignored largely as a consequence of there being an absence of a commissioner. There's been work that's been done from time to time by the commission, but it's been sporadic. And I do think there is a real need to make sure that these issues get the full attention they deserve, because if you think about, say, for instance, my other commission colleagues, there's a disability commissioner, a sex discrimination commissioner, and what we have, you know, at state and federal government levels is ministers responsible for those areas. We have government agencies responsible for those areas, but sexual orientation and gender identity doesn't, and we often fall through the cracks, and there's certainly a need to give more priority to that, and that's why I've taken this on as part of my role.
And his view was, in the current budget situation, we're not going to get a commissioner this time around either. But we have Tim Wilson. He's openly gay and a very, very vocal advocate for LGBTIQ issues. He did come to the commission, however, in some pretty unusual circumstances. In fact, before working for the commission, he worked for the Institute for Public Affairs, which you might know as a fairly conservative right-wing think tank in Australia. And it was kind of interesting because some of his work while working for the IPA was very critical of the commission. Indeed, the IPA was calling for the Human Rights Commission to be shut down entirely. And the criticism in a nutshell was that the commission, in the IPA's view, was taking, I guess, too much of a focus on anti-discrimination and social justice issues. There was a view that the commission was sort of in the hands of the Greens, the leftists, the social justice people, and that there was a kind of a political agenda that the Human Rights Commission had fallen into. Whereas the IPA and Tim Wilson are much more interested in what they call traditional liberal rights, things like freedom of speech, freedom of association, and freedom of religion. So in having a chat with Tim earlier this week, we touched on that critique, but we also had a chat about the online survey and overall what the Commission is trying to achieve with this consultation process.
What we're looking to engage as part of this survey as well as submission process is both the issues that are faced by LGBTI people through law, but also beyond law. So there are still significant issues, particularly transgender and intersex people face as part of their daily life because of law around, say, for instance, identity documents and how they're treated by law, perhaps at birth for intersex people. But there are plenty of issues beyond law that LGBTI people face every single day. So take, for instance, access to appropriate, informed mental health services, particularly for people in rural and regional areas who where the mental health practitioners may not have the skills or training to be able to assist people, say, transgendered people in rural and regional communities. There are issues that still exist around the education system, and what we're really trying to do is not just look at law, but look at how we can live a culture beyond law where LGBTI people are properly included in Australian society and all of their needs and are met as a consequence of government action.
Online surveys sometimes draw the usual suspects. How are you trying to reach out to those people who maybe don't speak English as a first language, who are in rural areas, don't have internet access and so forth?
Sure. Well, we've actually already engaged people in rural and regional areas. In fact, we've spent time as part of another consultation we've been doing around human rights and responsibilities, going around rural and regional and remote communities, talking to people, for instance, Aboriginal communities, about the challenges they face as a consequence of sexual orientation and gender identity issues. We've held a number of public forums where we've had the opportunity for people to raise these sorts of issues. So we're actually very cognizant of the challenges that are faced by people of non-English speaking backgrounds or from minority or marginalised communities. But we've also held stakeholder group meetings with LGBTI activists and organisations who are engaged with those people as well, and their views and opinions have been fed back through that process. So it's quite a comprehensive process, but we encourage people to go to the Commission's website at humanrights.gov.au and fill out the survey or make a submission about the issues that they think affect them.
As you say, people can also submit case studies as well as filling out the online survey. Mm. In the consultations you've done so far, has there been a situation that where you've learned something that's just totally out of the blue, something that surprised you?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot about things so far, but there have been a number of things which I've only been partially aware of or hadn't realised just how an extent there were around issues to do with LGBTI people, particularly around the gendered nature of our health system and how that has a discriminatory effect against transgender people who want to get health or support, particularly around the processes making sure that people can access hormonal treatment and how that can be done under the PBS. There are lots of issues that emerge out of there. Equally, the challenges that are faced, for instance, by young gay and lesbian trans and young gay and lesbian or bisexual people in Aboriginal communities can sometimes be very difficult and challenging as well. But behind all of the stories of problems, there's also enormous stories of hope, because sometimes it's people in some of the most difficult circumstances that are doing some of the best work to help change and improve the lives of LGBTI people, such as the Brothers Sisters group in Alice Springs, who, of course, are in a very difficult situation, but putting their personal experiences, lives, out to public to promote understanding and awareness of the people within their community.
One of the things that the background paper highlights that you put out alongside this survey and call for case studies is that there's a patchwork of state laws that cover everything from birth certificates to adoption to marriage equality and so forth, and massive inconsistency across those state laws. Is it really time for COAG or some other group to come together, to bring Australian governments together and say, look, it's time that we address this as a country and bring all the states together and have a degree of consistency?
Well, I think states obviously have to be left to decide what their laws are, but one of the things we're very much intending on doing through this process is highlighting where there's inconsistency, bringing attention to it, and then seeking to work with the states to see if we can achieve a degree of reform so that we can, because some of the issues of inconsistency just creates headaches for everybody, and that includes the people affected, but it also includes different levels of government. And I think there is an appetite to look at that, but it has to be done in a sensible and constructive way. And so we're seeking to find out where all the problems are and then seeking to work, whether it's through COAG or work with the states directly, about how they can address these challenges. So your thinking is roughly where we're heading, but we have to work with the states in this on their terms to make sure that we effect positive change.
In joining the Human Rights Commission, one of the things you said was that you wanted to strengthen non-legislative defence of human rights in Australia. And within the background documentation, there's also an emphasis on consultation leading to the building of a culture of respect. Can you tell us why that's important?
Well, it's very important because we can all talk about rights and freedoms and the capacity to exercise them, but sitting behind all of that is that people have to be mindful of the consequence of their behaviour on others, and to do that with a degree of respect. And so I'm, as part of both my human rights consultations and SOGI consultations, is trying to identify where people are developing schemes or community programs that seek to promote a sense of mindfulness of the consequences of people's behaviour on others, to make sure that people can have rights, but that they exercise in a proportionate and mindful way to promote a more inclusive society.
You came to this role being very, very open about your own sort of political views, your ideological views about human rights, and what you saw as the failings of the Human Rights Commission prior to you joining it. If it turns out that through all of these consultations that the LGBTI community, that other communities say, well, look, actually, we like the anti-discrimination approach, we like the social justice approach, will that change your mind, or for you is this a process that you really want to see through to the end? Do you really want to see Australia change the way that it thinks about rights?
I do want Australia to see how to change how they think about rights. For starters, I want people to understand what human rights are. I don't want them to become a perverted political agenda to where we use the term of human rights to inflate a cause that isn't attached to human rights or only loosely attached, because we think that will give it a better PR or marketing exercise. When we use the language of human rights to inflate a cause that isn't a human rights issue, what you end up doing is demeaning and undermining what human rights are. And I've seen this consistently across the country, talking to communities everywhere we go, that too many people don't understand what human rights are, and the terms have become abused and inflated for no purpose. Because once upon a time, human rights meant thing, and it was integral, and preserving and protecting them took precedence over other things, and that's what I want to see. But in engaging with the LGBTI community, there has been very little inconsistency between the general concerns that people have raised and what I am interested in doing. In fact, we've actually had a very strong overlap. But the only difference has been around strategy, really, and how you seek change. And as Human Rights Commissioner and the de facto Commissioner for Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Issues, I've been very focused in making sure that we actually get change, having spent time engaging very much with different groups in the community as part of a constructive and respectful discussion.
Tim Wilson, the Human Rights Commissioner from the Australian Human Rights Commission, who enthusiastically has taken on the portfolio of LGBTIQ rights.
You've been listening to Transpositions. We love your feedback. And if you want to share your own story, email us during the week, transpositions@joy.org.au, or contact us via social media. You'll find all the links at joy.org.au/transpositions. Thank you for listening to Transpositions on Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.